Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, it's Ask Me Anything. Former Detective Garda John Sweetman is with me here in studio this afternoon. John, how are you? How's things?
How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for John, for popping into us. I know you're going to come back in around 20 minutes' time to answer all of our listener questions. If they want to get them in, I know there's, needless to say, tons of voice notes. 087 1400 106 is the number. You might just explain to listeners, first of all, what you did. So you're a former Detective Garda.
Yeah, like I spent, you know, 30 years in the Guards, 25 of that was forensic based, you know, be it fingerprints, and then later on I was working in the handwriting section. So I spent most of my career in kind of like examining crime scenes or examining exhibits from crime scenes, and retired 2 years ago. And out of the blue then, about a month or two ago, I got a call from Go Loud to,
you're a podcaster,
to present a podcast. Yeah, completely new realm for me altogether.
Good stuff. So in your work, obviously, as a former Detective Garda, yours was really kind of based around the forensic areas and in the crime scene investigations bureau, really. So you're dealing with the worst of incidents, if we can describe it as that. I suppose typically when you arrive at somebody's house or area, it's usually not good news.
No, sometimes like it can be quite, you know, gruesome, and you know, you might be dealing with suspicious deaths, murders, but you're also dealing with volume crime, especially like when I worked in the documents and handwriting section. Like, you're dealing with fraud and false documents and false passports and all that type of thing, which, you know, is different again, but still very interesting.
So your background, obviously, through the usual route of Temple Moor, the typical kind of Garda training. Yeah. And then once you qualify and you work as a guard, do you then, you sort of specialise in you know, whatever area you please?
Yeah, like it's whenever vacancies arise in different places, you know, if a competition is held, you apply for it and you go through the usual, you know, interview process and stuff like that. I was very lucky in that I was still quite junior in the job at the time. I had only 4 years service when I got into the fingerprint section, which just meant more time, more years for me to spend within that area, which I was fascinated with. You know?
Why do you think you were so interested in that particular area?
Well, I didn't really like the, you know, the frontline day-to-day police, and I didn't suit it. Like, it's not that it didn't suit me. I didn't suit it, really. I didn't have the confidence for it, you know. But I had a background in art. I was always very detail orientated, and you know, able to concentrate and, you know, work well on my own. And when I discovered that the fingerprint section existed, like, I mean, I didn't even realize that these places existed within the Guards. I said, that's for me, and it was right. Like, I loved it.
Loads of listener questions coming in. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. We have this question, John, from Matthew.
As a detective, what would you say was one of the most dangerous situations you were ever in?
Well, you know, I wasn't on the front line. You know, most of the time I'd be going out to crime scenes, which be after the fact, after something had happened.
After the incident happens, you're
but,
there.
Yeah, I've been on a couple of jobs where, you know, you were kind of a little bit on edge. I remember one particular job down in Limerick at the height of the kind of McCarthy-Dunban feud down there. And, like, we were working away at the scene, but in the background we could see, like, armed Gardaí were there to protect us. You know, that was kind of unnerving. Another job we were sent out on, it was a big... Nobody told us what it was. It was a secret thing or something, which is unusual. We always know where we're going to. But like that, we had an armed escort there and back. But it turned out it was the recovery of some of those bait or bite paintings. You know, the paintings that were robbed out of some big country manor. A couple of times they were robbed, but these were worth millions. You know, so...
they required an armed escort.
Had to have an armed escort.
Retrieval,
you know?
Yeah.
But then you could be dealing with stuff that's brought back for examination. You could be dealing with explosives and firearms and stuff like that. But, you know, you'd have a qualified ballistics expert there to make sure these things are safe. So, you know, I was never really in danger, but some of the things that you do as part of the, you know, crime scene investigation could be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
Another question in from Jenny.
Hi, John. Does the job affect your personal life?
No, I wouldn't say it has, although my wife might say different.
She'll answer that question, you know, with a different answer.
They say, like, don't give me the Garda speak or whatever. Yeah. But we do get a certain way of looking at things, and some people think, you know, you do get a little bit cynical over the years. Anything that I'd been involved with or seen and stuff like that from the job perspective, no, it didn't. I'd never carried it home. It just becomes part of your work.
Yeah, you
know,
were able to sort of compartmentalize it into an area.
Yeah, like it's like anybody that works maybe in the emergency services and nurses and doctors and stuff like that. It's part of your job, and the importance of doing the job, you know, takes precedence to the nastier aspects of it.
We have another question in from Dermot.
Hi, John. How do you cope with disturbing and stressful cases?
Yeah, well, you're always part... Well, certainly when I was part of the Technical Bureau as a fingerprint person, you're always part of a team. So you're all there to support one another. And certainly in later years, if you've been to a particularly disturbing scene, crime scene, there's always supports put in place, counselling and all that is readily available to you. But we kind of always had each other's backs, and if you did have a problem, you'd have plenty of support from your colleagues. It's a type of job that you'd know pretty quickly whether or not you're suited to it. But no, I never got affected by it. Some things you do remember them, you know, and it might be smaller things. It mightn't be the really
that stick with you.
Gutty and gory crime scene. It could have been a handwritten note left by somebody that was, you know, murdered or something like that. Or, you know, those type of things more stuck with me than the, you know, the guts and the gore type of thing.
Okay. With this question from Anthony.
How do detectives work with forensic teams and other units?
Well, like when I say I was a detective, detective in a forensic unit, the Technical Bureau. And the Bureau team, when they are called to a crime scene, are just one small part of a criminal investigation. So you do have to work with the investigators, the actual guards and detectives with their, you know, boots on the ground doing the legwork of the investigation. So it's very much a teamwork thing. Like we're there, or we were always there as a support for Garda members investigating crime. So you know, you always have to have a good working relationship and be able to share information, and, you know, so yeah, it was easy enough. Like,
yeah, okay, everybody kind of has their lane, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, we were there to do a particular job, okay, a very important job, but really only a small part in any big investigation.
Okay, we have another question in from Lee.
Hi, John. Have you ever been in a situation where you were afraid for your life?
I probably was, but not in the job. No, I haven't been. Again, I was lucky in my career in that I spent the bulk of it within a specialised unit that always kind of reacted to the aftermath of a crime. We weren't going into some situation that we didn't know what was there. Unlike your everyday Garda member that just goes into work every day and just does not know what they're going to face. So I have never been in a situation where in my job where I was afraid for my life.
Okay, Jake wants to know this.
Hi, John. Just wondering, how accurate is the portrayal of detectives in TV? Like, how true to life is it? Thanks.
That's a great question.
Yeah, well, I don't really watch much television.
Do you not?
No, I don't. I certainly don't watch.
You're not a CSI Miami fan or
no? I do like watching true crime documentaries and things like that, but I don't watch the other stuff. It is accurate, I believe, to a certain extent, but they do have to sacrifice a lot for the sake of entertainment. Like, you know, everything gets wrapped up in 3/4 of an hour or whatnot. I haven't seen a drama program yet that accurately portrayed the guards. I still think that's, something that has to come down the line. Yeah. But then again, it mightn't be entertainment.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's the other side of it. You need people, unfortunately, need ratings too. Just to pick up on Jake's point there, though, like when you were kind of working within the investigation bureau and dealing with kind of, you know, forensics around fingerprints and letter writing, wasn't that the other kind of
handwriting
area of focus? Like, how lengthy is that? I imagine that must be very tedious work.
I never found it tedious. It can be time consuming, you know. And, you know, sometimes you're dealing with just volume crime and you mightn't have really good material to work with, like particularly in relation to the handwriting aspect of it. But when you do have enough question material and then specimen material for comparisons, I found it really fascinating, and you could get lost in it and, you know, zone out. But a big handwriting case, like it could be happening with hundreds of signatures or loads and loads of handwriting, it could take days, maybe even weeks to work your way through it. But if you do think you're onto something, if you are coming to a conclusion of sorts, I just found it that it was great.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. This question from Ben.
How do detectives stay objective during emotional cases?
Again, as I say, I was a detective in a specialised unit. So most of my dealings with the public, unfortunately, was when they were already passed away. Mm. But, you know, you do learn that there's work and there's real life, and you have to concentrate on doing the job correctly, because not only is there a right way of doing things, you know, there's a legally right way of doing things as well. So guards are always aware of that. So their objectivity when dealing with stressful situations, you know, plays into that, because down the line, you never know if there are going to be court proceedings arising from whatever incident there is. So you're very much conscious of doing everything correctly.
Yeah, you have to leave your emotion at the door.
Yeah. And follow procedure.
Question in from Brendan.
Hi, my name is Brendan, and I just wanted to ask the guard the question that I was arrested 20 years ago for a minor thing. Drunken disorderly was the case at the time, and I've often just wondered, is DNA and fingerprints for the likes of that a thing that will be kept on file, or is there any way you can find out if that information is on file? It's just something I've always wondered and wondered how to find out. Thanks.
That might be something you probably have to look into, is it?
Yeah, like I wouldn't really know about DNA, having not worked in that field. That's the forensic science laboratory. You would probably have to make inquiries through your local Garda station and local superintendent with regards to inquiring whether or not samples are still on file. Yeah. Like, with fingerprints, if they're taken under certain acts, they can only be retained for certain periods of time, or some can be retained indefinitely, but you'd have to make inquiries and start from your local Garda and then up through the channels.
Then pass
really
it on. Okay.
Pass it on.
Question from Adrian.
Can you tell him, please, that Lines of Inquiry is an absolutely fantastic podcast. I must listen to for anybody who's into true crime. My question is, has he ever come across anything that he found to be completely unexplainable at almost a supernatural level, or anything he's taught that this is weird beyond belief? Thank you.
Right.
No, I haven't dealt with any paranormal stuff. I've dealt with some very, very strange things, particularly with the handwriting end of it. And thanks very much for the listening to the podcast. But one of the episodes, and I'm sure you've heard it, or I'm sure the listener has heard it, is the Midlands Letters case, which I found pretty disturbing, you know, the content and the amount of stuff and the period of time that went on for. But, you know, sometimes you could just open up a file and there's something there that you're like, holy God, like, what is this? But I've never come across anything, you know, supernatural, or you come across very strange things. Though.
Well, if you want more information, or you want to hear more about the podcast John has mentioned, Lines of Inquiry, which is really kind of the hidden stories behind the country's most compelling cases. We only reviewed it here on Lunchtime Live recently as well. You can get it there on the Go Loud app. For the moment, though, John Sweetman. John, thanks a million for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Great to have you and answering listener questions.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.